and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My wife and I, we first started dating just over 20 years ago. And I remember very clearly one of the first questions that she ever asked me. She asked me, "What does your name mean?" It was an odd question. I had never really given it any thought. My name is my name, and I wasn't even really sure whether my name had a meaning. And one of the reasons that I remember being asked this question by Mana is because she would ask that question fairly regularly. When she would meet someone new, she would ask that question. I wonder what their name means. And of course, once I met Mana's family, things began to make sense. My in-laws came to this country from Japan, and to the Japanese, as for many cultures, the meaning of a name is very important. Names are chosen not because they sound nice, or really even because they are names that are shared by other members of the family. Names are chosen based on what they mean. When you receive a name, you sort of absorb the meaning of that name in the same way that a sponge absorbs water. It just becomes part of who you are. In Holy Scripture, possessing a name is serious business as well. In Scripture, your name is your reality. In our English translations of Scripture, we often miss the power of the names as they occur in the original Hebrew and the Greek. Each name contains a story. Each name is a summary of the person who bears it. Adam is a word which means the one who is from the earth. Israel means the one who struggles with God. Melchizedek, a name which we hear pretty often, comes from Melech, meaning king, and Zedek, meaning righteousness. Melchizedek means the king of righteousness. Abraham, the father of multitudes. David means beloved. Jonathan means a gift from God. Joshua means the one who saves. And of course, Jesus, which is the Greek version of Joshua. Jesus means Savior. In our gospel reading, though, this morning, we meet a very different sort of person, a very different man. We meet someone who long ago has lost his name. And as Jesus and his disciples cross the Sea of Galilee, they enter this country of the Gadarenes. And there they are met by a man who Scripture describes as naked and demon-possessed, someone who is so frightening that he is forced to live in the tombs, to live among the dead. We are told that not even chains can hold him down. He's like a beast. His humanity is so eroded that he behaves more like an animal than as someone made in the image and likeness of God. And to underscore the power that which darkness and evil have over this man, our Lord asks him for his name. It's very powerful. The man can't do it. He responds by telling the Lord, "Legion." This is not his name. This is the best he can think of. It is the best description he can give of himself. A legion of Roman soldiers contained 4,000 to 6,000 men. And like these foreign Gentile warriors that occupy Palestine, the man has been invaded and occupied by legions of demons. And of course, the lesson here is that what is true of this man is true of each and every one of us. As sinful and broken human beings, as people who have turned away from God, the God who created us in love, we are like that man. We are like people without names. And in Scripture, that's serious business. Our sinfulness, our drive to place our own human wills above the will of the God who made us, this is something which Scripture tells us the morning erases our capacity to be the children of God that we were created to be. When we reject the invitation given by God to us, an invitation to enter more deeply into his own life, we lose everything. Even our names. We become like people without pasts. We become people without memories. We become like people without a purpose. Because in Scripture, someone's name is their purpose. This is a powerful image of separation from God. Darkness erodes away everything that makes us human. Our minds and our hearts, even our bodies, begin to lose the memory of true fellowship with God. And we seek fellowship instead with temporary things, things that cannot possibly give us the joy and the fullness that we were created by our loving Father to enjoy. According to Scripture, to lose your name is to lose everything that makes you who you are. And according to Scripture, we are all like the Gadarene demoniac. We're like people without names who sit around in a cosmic cemetery wondering who we are, whether there's any purpose or reason for being here. The good news, brothers and sisters, the good news is that the coin has two sides. And if the people who sit in darkness are like people without names, then salvation, being healed, being forgiven, being embraced by our raised and glorified Lord, salvation is the moment when our Lord restores us and gives us a new name. The Bible is full of examples of this very sort of thing. Time after time, when someone is confronted by God and called to new purposes, that person is given a new name. Abram and Sarai become Abraham and Sarah after God establishes his covenant with them. Jacob, the grandson of Abraham, wrestles with an angel through the night until that angel blesses him, and his name is changed to Israel. The fisherman Simon becomes the apostle Peter. And of course, there's the apostle Paul. His confrontation with Jesus Christ is one of the most dramatic in all of Scripture. And it is a confrontation which the apostle speaks about himself this morning in the epistle lesson from Galatians. St. Paul was someone that we know who once persecuted the church, and it was not until he was confronted by our Lord himself on the road to Damascus, it was not until, as he says in today's Galatians reading, until he was given the gospel directly by our Lord, it's not until then that he becomes the great servant rather than the great persecutor of the church. And in the aftermath of his conversion, he stops using his Hebrew name Saul, the name under which he persecuted the church, and he begins to use his Greek name, Paul. This is a sign that he has received the gospel directly from the Lord himself, and that he has been commissioned to go and to preach the good news to the Gentiles, to those who live outside of the house of Israel. God gave him a new purpose, and so God gave him a new name. But what about our demoniac, the one healed by Christ among the Gadarene tombs? Curiously, Scripture does not record whether the man was given a new name by Christ. It doesn't tell us whether or not the man was able to remember his real name after those demons were cast out. Instead, Scripture tells us that the man is filled with a deep desire to serve the Lord. The evangelist Luke says that the man begs to remain with Jesus. But our Lord has other plans, and he instructs the man to remain where he is and to preach the good news of the kingdom of God among his own people. And so this is what he does. Our reading concludes by saying that the man went his way and proclaimed throughout the whole city what great things Jesus had done for him. And so in some sense, it does not matter what the man's new name is. The emphasis, rather, is placed at the end of this reading on the Savior's name. Time and time again in the New Testament, those who are healed like this man, they are healed in order to serve. And the same thing happens this morning. The one who has been healed goes throughout the city, and he does this not to proclaim his own name, but to proclaim the name of Jesus. And his message, we can imagine, is simple, but powerful. It's the same message which you and I are called upon to proclaim, having also been touched by his healing hand. The message proclaimed by the man who was once legion, the message that you and I are called to proclaim, is that this man, Jesus, is the only one who truly lives up to the meaning of his name. Jesus is the only one who Jesuses. Jesus the Christ is the only one who saves. Amen.